We're doing more brachot. We're up to Yotet Amud Aleph, the two dots, about 12 lines from the bottom. Those that are carrying the bed and those that are going to exchange them, they are potter from Shema because they're busy with the mitzvah of carrying the bed. The Braisa says, we don't take out the deceased for burial when it's near the time of Kriya Shema. Ordinarily in Shas, whenever you encounter the word Samuch, it means a half hour adjacent to. So near the time of Shema, we do not take out the deceased for burial, because it's going to interfere with the Shema. Remember, in their days, davening began in Shul with the blessings of Shema. Baruch Hu was the beginning of davening. Baruch Hu, the blessings of Shema, Shema. So there was a set time. Everyone got together, said Shema, and then they had their public Shmoneh Esrei with the Chazan saying it out loud. And that was it. Davening took all of 12 minutes. You showed up late, you missed it.
That's why they call it
So the Braisa says we don't take out the deceased samuch likriyat shema v'mitchilu, but if they started taking out, if they started the funeral and mafsikin, we don't stop them. Any, really? We don't stop them. Rav Yosef apku samuch likriyat shema. The Braisa said you don't take a person out for burial near the time of Shema. How come when Rav Yosef, who was the chief rabbi, when he passed away, they did take him out, and it was near the time of Shema? Answers the Gemara, Adam Chashuv Shani. Rav Yosef, chief rabbi of Israel. Okay, so he's an important person, so there we do things a little differently. That's exceptional. We said in the Mishnah, Shifnei Amitav Shadachar Amitav, be it the people in front of the bed or those that are behind the bed, those that are busy dealing with the body, well, they're potter from Shema. Tanu Abanan, Oskin Besped, the Braisa says, those that are busy with the eulogy, Bizman Shamet Mutalifneim, when the deceased is before them, Nishmatin Chadchad Vekorein, one by one they leave and they say Shema. Let's say they're having a eulogy, but the deceased is not present there. Let's say he's in another room, and they're eulogizing him here. Or let's say he's on the side of the room, and they're all over here. So then, hen yoshvin bekorin, they sit down and read Shema together. The who, and the one who's in mourning, yoshevet domem, he sits in silence. Hem omdim umtpalilin, they stand up and daven shmoneh esrei, v'umedu matzdik alav tadin. And he stands up and makes a declaration that God treated him fairly, even though he's in pain. Va'omer, and he says the following, Ribon Olami, Master of the Worlds, Ha'bechatati lefanecha, I've sinned greatly before you, v'lo nichvata mimeni achat mini alef, and I know you haven't paid me back even 0.1%. Yiratzon mi lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu, shetigdol pirtzoteinu, may it be the will before you, Hashem our God, that you will mend the breach in our fence, ופרצות כל עמך בית ישראל, and the breaches of all the nation of Israel, ברחמים with mercy. אמר אביי, אלו מביי לילין ישלמים ערכי. אביי says, you don't have to say that. To say, I know you haven't paid me back. That sounds like he's saying, God, I know you should still pay me back more. You haven't yet paid me back enough. You don't have to say it that way. דאמר רבי שמעון בן לוי, וכן תנא משמיד רבי יוסי, לעולם אל יפתח אדם פיו לשטן. We are taught that a person should always be careful not to open his mouth to make room for Satan to say, you see, here, he's even asking for it. So that's why we don't say that. We don't say, you haven't yet paid me back even for 0.1%. That's as though a person's saying, God, bring it on. You don't want to say that. Rav Yosef Meikra, Rav Yosef taught, what verse indicates to us this concept? Because Isaiah says, Kim'at kisdom hayinu. We were just a footstep away from being like Sodom. And Mayahadu Lunavi, and then what does he come back and say? Shimut v'ashem k'tinei Sodom. Now listen, you officers of Sodom, you see, he says we were almost like Sodom, and the next thing you know, they are Sodom. The Navi refers to them that they did become like Sodom. So you don't say like that. And this, people misunderstand this. This is far more encompassing than you'd think. If a person says, if this would happen to someone else, when he really means if this would happen to himself. That's also called to open his mouth to say something you shouldn't say. If a person would say, if it would happen to you, would you do this? That's also, let's say the Gemara brings a story that one rabbi visited the other rabbi while he was sitting Shiva and he saw that he didn't cut his nails. So the first rabbi said to the second rabbi, don't you know the halacha is that you're allowed to cut your nails when you're in mourning? So the second rabbi said to the first rabbi, if you were in mourning, would you cut your nails? Well, that's what happened. Very shortly afterwards, he was in mourning. And when the first rabbi came to visit the second rabbi, he threw his nails at him and said, here you go, what do you have to talk like that for? So you see, even if a person just says the words, if it would be by you, And we had a story here in the community. There was a big rabbi, and he visited one of his constituents who had cancer. And he tried to tell him some words of encouragement. And the guy said, if you would have this, would you talk that way? And very shortly thereafter, that rabbi fell ill with the same cancer. I'm not saying we know how God runs the world, but Chazal warned us that there are sentences that should not be said. And even if a person doesn't say, if I would have, if a person would just say, like, if someone else would have, but really he means if he himself would have it, that's also called opening the door for catastrophe.
What did you say?
Doesn't help.
It doesn't help?
I mean, it helps something, but I still wouldn't say it.
But there's something where you have to explain the circumstances, like, say, you have to say a theoretical situation, or to prove a point, or to...
So talk about John Doe. Talk about Arafat getting cancer. Talk about other people. Talk about Ahmadinejad. Talk about, you know...
If you only speak in general terms, is it okay? Or even if this would happen to someone, you're not allowed to do
it. I think that's better than the other way. I don't know if that's good enough.
Even
I don't know.
I don't want this. Hello? I'm saying I don't want this.
I don't know.
It's not like we never think
that. I don't know if that being good enough. No. But on the other hand, don't go crazy, guys. You know, sometimes people are not aware of this concept and they say all kinds of things. If this would happen to you, what would you say? And then people, they blow up. Yeah. Don't tell me that. But they did already tell you that. What are you going to gain? So,
we're scared now.
What?
We're already scared.
We're all scared now. Okay, so Davin, you know, he runs the show up there. At the end of the day, he's the one to talk to. So we said after they buried the deceased, if they could begin and end, so then they reach Ma. And if not, then they don't reach Ma. So the Gemara explains, did the Mishnah mean to say only if they could complete all of Shema should they read it? But if they could only get in one section of Shema, the Parsha of Shema, or the Parsha of Vayam Shamoa, or even one Pasuk, then they should not read it? The Ramini, I'll throw at you a contradiction. The Braisa says, if they buried the deceased and they're on their return, if they could complete one chapter or even one verse, then they do say that, answers the Gemara, yeah, that's what the Mishnah means. If they could complete one chapter or even one verse before it's their turn to say the words of comfort as they're in line to comfort the mourners, then they should say that one verse, v'im lav. But if they're not going to finish one verse, they're going to say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, and then they're standing in front of the mourner, so then lo yatchilu, they shouldn't even start. If they know they won't get even one pasuk in, they shouldn't even start.